Welcome to the Narala Capacity Building Session number 3 on Wednesday the 17th of October. The time is currently 7:15 here locally in Toronto. Over to you, Garth. Thank you. If I could also please, just while I do have the microphone, remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for the transcript purposes, but also for our interpreters who are here in the booth, French and Spanish interpretation, and also, please to speak at a reasonable speed for the interpreters. Thank you. Over to you, Garth.
Thank you very much, and good morning. This is Garth Bruin, and this is our third capacity building session. And I think that we're doing really well, and I really like what I'm hearing so far from all the membership. And I'm glad everybody is participating and really using their brains. It's good stuff. Today we're going to talk about the first part of our communication strategy, and we're going to finish it up tomorrow. The communication agenda for today is about communication inside of our community. The communication we'll be talking about tomorrow is communication with the outside world. And, I really think that these two are two different subjects. They're two different ways of talking. So we have to take time to really think about them differently. One of the things that I've experienced, and I sort of have the benefit of being a relatively new member of Narala compared to a lot of other folks. Thankfully, there are a lot of people here who have been engaged in Narala and in ICANN for a long time. So, and we have the benefit of experience. I've only come in, I think it was maybe late 2008, 2009 that I became an ALS. And I can kind of bring up a fresh perspective on the way that some of the processes and procedures worked for me or didn't work for me. And I can kind of see, you know, what needs to be tweaked, what can be improved. One of the things I've noted, and this is item number 2 on the agenda, is about the information flow, how information gets out to the ALSs and how we exchange information with each other. And, there's a certain benefit to it being informal at times. I mean, I think it's great that any one of us can have a chat with any other member, and we can just get right into an issue and start talking about it. This is fantastic. But in terms of getting everybody to understand what we're talking about, we do need to have some standards that make sense. Just as an example, I noticed when I started getting involved in the Narala monthly calls that you would get an email. It would tell you to go to a web page, and then you had to click on another link to get a phone number. And somewhere else within that same page, but in a different place, was the code for the call. I think this was pretty inefficient. I don't think somebody designed it this way on purpose. But I asked staff to, going forward, when they send out the message for the monthly conference, just put the 1-800 number, because everybody in North America is going to be calling that same 1-800 number. We don't need the number for, you know, Australia, or the number for Timbuktu in that list for us specifically, and then the code right next to it. And lo and behold, in the next announcement, staff had made that change. And I think that they were more than happy to do so and make it easier for us. So, I mean, as we see the types of communications that go back and forth, if there is anything that can be done to lower a barrier and make things simpler, I want to hear about it. If you're seeing something that's making it more difficult for you to participate, let's change it. Let's change it as quickly as we possibly can. And sometimes simple changes can make all of the difference. And then in terms of data reorganization, I don't think we necessarily need a separate page for action items. I think that the fewer pages are better. And I think that if we have a meeting agenda, the action items that were developed at that meeting should go at the bottom of the page, and then go at the top of the page for the next meeting, so that there is, you know, a constant link between the actual agenda for one meeting and the agenda for another meeting, rather than having a meeting agenda with a number of different sub-pages that are kind of, you know, lost in cyberspace. And, I mean, these are just some of my ideas, and I would love to hear your ideas. Does anybody have anything right now that they see as a glaring example of something that could just be reorganized and tweaked? Please, Randy.
Hey, good morning again. Randy Glass, America at Large. I'd like to just agree with you that the process of communication within the at-large structures has been quite daunting as far as, you know, not just the telephone issue that you're talking about, but also the wikis, and somebody's got the Google and somebody's got a Doodle and about 10 other things that I've never heard of. And so, and will not use for that purpose. I mean, I've got enough logins and different things that that I use, and, you know, the scheduling is a great example. The scheduling for the table is a great example. I mean, I don't know where it's set up on what kind of a link, because I've just got my fill of different websites and things that I need to interact with, and one more added to that stack is, you know, a challenge. So, and actually I think this new My ICANN thing that they're coming up with, I mean, hopefully that'll make things easier. One of the bigger problems that I have that you bring up is the telephone calls. And, you know, I, for the record, work 15 hours a day. And somebody send that transcript to my boss. So I never know if I'm going to be in a meeting 10 minutes from now. And I have that same issue with another organization. I mean, they'll send me a text saying, hey, we've got a call in 10 minutes. Make sure you're on it. No, you know, cannot. You know, so some type of a wiki type of thing where we can get on at some point and collaborate is great. But I see a rare need where everybody needs to be on at one point. And there are some tools, I'm sure, that would allow that in real time using the Internet. Matter of fact, I remember there's some old school type stuff that's out there that we can use for that. But if we interface that around the new My ICANN kind of a thing and kind of condense everything so that there's one point of entry, one interface type, I think that will be a real benefit to everybody.
No, definitely. That's really a good point. I mean, in terms of the Doodle for the sign-up for the tabletop, that and other items as we were developing the agenda for this meeting, I mean, as soon as I would identify that something was in another space and not within the meeting agenda, I would pull it into the meeting agenda. So as soon as we were talking about something, I would go back and edit the page and just put that link right in there rather than have it being lost in the discussion or lost in a separate email. So we should be focusing on centralizing where all the data is and coming up with ideas and places to put that. And I mean, people find great tools all the time, and sometimes these tools can be overwhelming. And this sort of leads into the third agenda item. And coming from the perspective of somebody who was new, it was extremely overwhelming. I mean, I'm a tech guy, but I actually had never used Skype. And I remember, I can't remember which meeting it was. It might have been the Brussels meeting. I had no idea what was going on. And everybody kept telling me, oh, all the discussion is on Skype. Everything's on Skype. I'm like, I don't know what Skype. I don't know. I don't know what Skype is. So, We need to be mindful and speak in plain speak for the benefit of our new members, and understand that not everybody uses the same tools And Dev has his hand up. Please, Dev.
Thank you. David Antilaxing speaking. Good morning, everyone. I think that the nature of computing on the internet means that people always use different tools to achieve the same to do various things. One of the things for the technology task force was, and this was recognized in the at-large improvements, was to try to create like a help desk for at-large users, so that if any at-large user had a question or a query or couldn't figure out anything, they could send it to the technology task force. And one of the things what we're also doing is to try to come up with, well, plain English, less tech speak, synopsis of all the various tech tools like the Adobe Connect. You know, if you have troubles with connecting to Adobe Connect for the meetings, using Skype, so forth, and all the various other tools that we use. So, I would say one of the things going forward is that if there are any questions from any member, please, send it to the technology task force, and I'll send the link to you, Gart. That will be useful to both answer the question on the wiki, and it will help all of at large. Thanks.
Okay, we do have the benefit of having Dev here. I mean, he's just a super nice guy, first of all. But he is actively organizing this effort to streamline our social media and communications, and he understands everything. So on any level, he's a great guy to talk to. And yes, you had your hand up first, please.
Yes, my name is Murray McKercher from Infocom Canada. I'm a new participant, sort of unattached, at large at the moment. Just a quick comment. I use Skype and all these various items. I think when I notice what's up on the screen here, that technology that you're using, whether it integrates voice communications, if something is integrated, it's a lot easier to use. It sounds to me that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're using that and Skype in your meetings to communicate, or 1-800 numbers. So it sounds a little complicated, as your Garth mentioned. So I think there's a lot of simpler ways, and perhaps I can help.
Thank you. I think Dev was wagging his finger. I think Skype is the informal communication between the membership, and then the Adobe bridge that we see up here on the screen, that is the official portal for these discussions. And if you're using this, if you've never used it before, you can engage in a chat on the screen. You can see the agenda items. In this case, you can actually see the meeting room, and you can hear what's going on in the room. And one of the things that is actually absolutely critical is that you can raise your hand virtually in this room. And obviously, if we're on a monthly call, I can't see you raise your hand. And it isn't always great if people just start talking over each other. And some people might be hesitant to begin a discussion because they don't want to be rude and say, I would like to say something when somebody else is talking. So we do have this capability of raising your hand virtually in this room. And whoever's moderating the meeting should be able to see that. And even if I'm running a meeting and I'm not looking at the screen and paying attention, Heidi is, or Gisela is, and they will jump in and remind me that so-and-so has their hand up and everybody gets a turn. And I believe that it works. Whoever has their hand up first gets to the top of the queue. Is that correct? Okay. So it's going to be pretty fair. And I think Shiva had his hand up first, and then Evan. Thank you.
I'm Shiva from Epiralo, and I'm in the wrong room, but I observed something that Garth was saying, so I wanted to make a comment before I leave. We have ICANN-wide systems for communication and everything, and when Garth talked about the problem of phone numbers and communication and talked about a particular improvement of having a 1-800 number for Narrowlow, that also sometimes introduces its own problems. What if I want to join that meeting from India and I can't dial that 1-800 number? So any improvement it's better to have a global view rather than a RALO-specific or ALS-specific view for greater interaction. Thank you.
Evan, please.
Thanks. This is Evan for the record. I guess the easiest way to do that is a combination of what has traditionally done with a little bit of a shortcut. All the pages say have a link on them, how to participate in this meeting, and that has a list of all the global numbers. I mean, the fact that we put up the 1-800 number on the main link does not take away from the fact that all those other international numbers are all still active. So obviously the default is for the 800 number for within the continent. And if you want any one of the other numbers, here's a link to follow. It just doesn't clutter up the main page every month with all those other numbers. I just wanted to make a comment on the quality of the tools that I've seen over the last 5 or so years. I've had my own mini nightmares with Adobe Connect on an ongoing basis over the last little while, especially when using non-Windows and non-Mac devices. I had a fight with Adobe tech support for the better part of a year and a half over the Linux version of Adobe Connect. And I continue to wrestle with the Android version of Adobe Connect. Well, it works for me on days that have a T in them. I just find it to be very... I know. It has worked for me very well, but it also has had its, shall we say, issues. Adobe Connect has an audio capability to it, but more often than not, people find that it just does not supplant the voice bridge. It just doesn't. It doesn't work that well. If somebody has their computer on, you have this wonderful echo chamber effect. The problem with Skype, though, is that Skype doesn't have transcripts. And Skype is a very, very opaque method of communicating. For the people that are in the chat, it's excellent. For people that may want to see what's been going on in the chat that were not there in real time, there's no intellectual memory of this. There's no record of it. I've been involved in Google Plus Hangouts that immediately when you have a conversation, they can mail a copy of the chat to an email address. Murray, you're saying, so are you familiar with a transcript that's available from Skype without having to manually cut and paste everything?
Yes, it's Murray McCurdy. There is one that I was experimenting with, and it seems pretty good, but I'd have to investigate it further. So that technology, I think, does exist in Skype as a help, not Skype per se, but as a helper application to Skype.
The other audio problem with using the audio within Adobe Connect is the fact that we use interpretation. And so the VoiceBridge provides interpretation in the three languages that we work in, but Adobe Connect's audio does not. So it's not a replacement. It's like we've got all these tools, and each of them provides something important, and each of them has its own little fatal flaw. So this is just something we're going to have to deal with, and you're nodding too. In fact, some of them have more than one fatal flaw. So I think we just need to keep looking at the what's out there, experiment. Like I say, I've been experimenting in iSoC with Google Plus Hangouts. They look good, but they also have their problems. So everything, we've really got to keep scanning the landscape and seeing what's out there. But the good side of it, thanks to Dev and a lot of the people at this table, we've been pretty good at watching what's out there, trying to keep up with it. And I don't know if you've been listening to some of the people coming in, but we have been using the tech probably more than most other corners of ICANN. When Denise Michelle came in yesterday and say, oh, look at this, we have these online calendars on the website that can link up with your Google Calendar. And people at this table, yes, so what? Okay, we've been doing that forever. At large staff here has been doing a phenomenal job of keeping a calendar that anyone can link up to with Google Calendar, with Lotus Notes, or anything like that. that I have found personally invaluable, even if you think about for this week, if you're using Google Calendar, even just keeping track of all the things going on this week, you have it, and it's been through our use of the tech as well as staff's doing a really good job of keeping on top of it. Anyway, so in terms of the tech component of the tools, we're up there, but everything's got their own little flaws to me.
It was Peter and then Louis. Did you have your hand up earlier?
I was just going to say that you can cut and paste in Skype, but I guess somebody already mentioned it.
Yeah, it's a little cumbersome. Louis?
I like the idea of open source to complete any set of tools that would be needed for our work. We've been experimenting video conferencing in Quebec City. You know that I have a few hats. One of them is that I work, you know, for my bread and butter, and I work for the government. So we've been experimenting in open source information integrated system, ECM tool, business enterprise, search enterprise. There's almost any tool that you can dream of in a portal. That's all open source, including video conferencing, including shared document, including collaborative work, including anything that we really need to adopt the mood of the 21st century. So if you need some information on that, if you'd like to, I can share that with you guys.
Please, all of these suggestions are certainly welcome, and I want to hear about all of your thoughts. Please send them to me. So just in the interest of time, we're going to move on to the item number three and close off this one, but not close it off permanently. So this week we've been spending a lot of time talking about outreach and recruitment, and we want to make sure that when we engage new people that they stay engaged. And one of the ways that we can do that is by, avoiding the kind of jargon they might not be used to yet, especially when it comes to "I can't speak," which is something that we all get immersed in very, very quickly. When I first started getting involved in at-large, I found the membership to be personable. Talking to Evan was very easy about anything, but understanding everything that Evan was saying was very, very difficult sometimes because he uses a lot of acronyms, and we use a lot of acronyms here, and you have to be aware that somebody might not know what the acronym is that you're talking about. I think if you can just imagine as you're speaking that you're reading from a dictionary or reading from a glossary, and just try and make more sense to the person. Now, if the person, obviously we don't have to say the Internet Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers at every meeting. I think that we're past that, but some of the smaller things we might need to expand for, especially new people. So if you just recognize that you're talking to somebody who's new, don't swear at them by using acronyms. We can put it that way. Yes, Murray.
Yes, Murray McKercher. So I'm the newest, or one, there are two people who are very new at this table, and I just wanted to mention that there is this document, Participating in ICANN for Beginners, and a huge list of acronyms, which I actually sat with during one of my first meetings to interpret what was going on. Thank you.
Yeah, I just in one Webster's dictionary I have, there's the abbreviation BX, which is the abbreviation for box. Why would anybody have an abbreviation for a three-letter word? I don't know. Continuing on the theme of language, item number four. I have there simple and meaningful terms that cross English, Spanish, and French. I think that this is difficult. And obviously, we do have interpretation. We do have translation. We always have the agenda in all three languages. And I'm wondering at times if we're dealing with, you know, the top level of information, the header of the page or the announcement, if there are any words that we can use which are easier for everybody to understand in each language. I mean, just looking at the agenda for today, we have the English word discussion, and then in Spanish we have debate, which it's a great word, but when you read it quickly in English, it has a completely different meaning than discussion. Debate has a completely different meaning in English. And then in the French column, am I pronouncing it right? We have débat. Is that?
Well, there's both words are used, but the meaning's going to be slightly different.
Your name.
Oh, my name. Louis. Well, I take it back for the record. So the meaning's going to be a little bit slightly different. So everybody in Canada would understand the word discussion in English as being a discussion that's animated, something as such. But it might be a fight with somebody else, you know. So to a certain extent, you have to be careful. One thing that you can keep in mind is that in French and Spanish, all the words finishing by T-I-O-N, attention, discussion, that kind of words, are relatives. They're parents. But we have to be careful. There's 2,500 words similar in both languages. It's a good basis. But there's false friends in the bunch, though. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was going to be an immediate answer for this. I just wanted to put the idea out there. And that if in any of the three languages we recognize terms that that do carry some sort of common meaning, maybe we should be looking at those instead. I mean, Eduardo, is discusión is a word, right? In Spanish? Discusión? No, but does it have a similar meaning? Use the microphone.
Discusión and discussion, they have the same meaning. You know, it's not...
Because I did see them used interchangeably within the discussion, within the agenda. Some of the Spanish agenda items say discusión, and some of them say debate.
Debate is mostly used like when you are challenging, you know, exchanging ideas, like you have your point, I have my point. And discussion is more like a personal, you know, like what we're doing now. We're discussing things.
Okay. So maybe we should be...
There is a difference between debate and discussion. Again, in some places in Latin America, maybe debate means discussion. So it depends from where it's coming from. Like in Puerto Rico, sometimes I read books that have been translated in Spanish. Sometimes I cannot understand them because they're translated in Spain or Mexico, and you know, we have a different way of understanding words. It's that bad.
Yeah. So, I suppose I'm looking towards your expertise. If we were to switch to discusión, just for at least for the North American Spanish speakers, that would be reasonable. Okay. So there's one.
Yes.
There's one hurdle which we've just jumped over. I mean, these are the kind of simple fixes that I'm talking about, because somebody who does not naturally speak Spanish or French may look at that and still understand what is going on, and vice versa. I mean, if there are words in English which are better for French speakers and Spanish speakers, please point them out. We would like to hear about them. Yes, Louis, please.
It's going to be a pleasure for me, Louis, well, for the record. It's going to be a pleasure for me to help you on that because I'm fond of languages. So,
okay, great. Yes, please, Murray.
Murray McRichard, sorry, just one last comment. I think the experts are in the booths behind us as it relates to translation, so perhaps there's some expertise in the room.
Thank you. I don't know if they're allowed to come out from the booth. I think that there's actually a lock on the other side, and they can't come out until the session's over. Okay. If there are no more comments on this particular issue, but we should continue to think about it, I'll move on to the next item, which is important. And unfortunately, I was hoping that Darlene would be here for this because it is something that she should be discussing. Number five, the issue of inactive ALSs, and I mean, this is something that definitely in this region and other regions, people want to address. And I want to be clear that I think that this should be a very careful process. I mean, it should be reserved for people for organizations who really, really, really are no longer participating. Because as we see from this event, there are people at this table who I have never met before from ALSs who I was not aware of, but we got them to this meeting. So I think that to imagine that somebody is not participating isn't completely accurate. And when we reach out and engage them, we can bring them in and get them to the table. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, said the real job of an ALS is not necessarily being involved in at large. It's engaging their own community. I mean, that's their primary function. And this crosses over into an agenda I discussed in previous sessions, is that I want to get your work on our record, not just the work that we do here at ICANN, but I want to know what you do in your community and get that part of the record. So I'm going to be reaching out to each one of you to get more of that information out. So hopefully that will get, when someone starts asking you about you, it seems more interesting. When everybody's only talking about ICANN, it's not always interesting to everybody. Yes, Gordon, please.
Good morning, Garth. Gordon for the record. Reaching out to ALSs, there is a bit of a challenge for us, and it's a challenge, I think, of our own making. The records that we have of the ALSs, at least that are part of Norello, is a little sketchy at best. There are two difficulties there. For example, on my own ALS, the primary contact that is still of record is not really terribly active. He tries to do the job, but he's time-swamped, and that primary contact information is going to have to change. And yet there's no really easy way of doing that, no really easy way of providing a different email address, no really easy way of modifying these things. So the ALSs may be out there. They may be trying to be active, but your contact information doesn't allow you to get in touch with them. Those contacts may no longer even be in that city. We do have a records problem.
No, I mean, and in terms of getting people to this meeting, I mean, there was a little bit of a difficulty in reaching some people, but it wasn't actually that difficult. I mean, for several weeks I was hearing... nobody from ISOC Colorado is responding. Nobody from ISOC Colorado is responding. And I said, give me the phone number of the contact of the person at ISOC Colorado. I dialed the phone number, and the person answered the phone. And I spoke to him. And he said, I cannot come myself, but I will send one of our officers to come. And lo and behold, we have Augie. And Augie, maybe if you could just introduce yourself really quickly to the group.
Hello. My name is Augie Mitev. I'm from the Colorado Internet Society chapter. This is my first ICANN meeting. I very much appreciate the opportunity to be here and to meet all of you. So I'm definitely new, and I'll be asking a lot of questions. Thank you.
The questions are welcome. And as he said, this is his first ICANN meeting. And I would like to hear from you what is getting to you and what is not getting to you in terms of communication, what you're understanding and what you're not understanding, because your ears and your eyes will help this process. And the same thing from Dana and Peter. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the veterans sitting around the table, are used to all of this, and we just kind of like slide into these chairs, and the rooms look the same, whether they're in Paris or Tokyo or whatever. It's always the same room. Some have windows. And I think where we're going, some windows may be looking in. And then, in terms of inactive ALSs, somebody, I think it was Glenn, said, you know, people aren't responding. People aren't responding on the mailing list. And I want to draw a clear distinction between not responding and rejecting. Because, you know, communication is also about listening. It's not always about writing back immediately. And rejection in the sense, the technical sense of their emails getting rejected, and then in the sense of this person does not want to talk to us anymore. And I actually have an at-large member who made it pretty clear to me that he doesn't want to talk to me, which is unfortunate. You know, not responding, I mean, is something that we can work on over time. But it may just be being passive, you know, which has its own problems. We want to make sure everybody's engaged and everybody's being heard. Now, I was hoping to have Darlene here so we could talk about the process of deaccreditation, because there is at least one ALS on our list, which it may be good to deaccredit them. I'm not sure even if the organization exists anymore. I have to do a little more due diligence and make sure that that's actually the case, and then we can kind of use that as a test case of deaccreditation. Evan, you have something?
Yeah. Over the years, the issue of performing and non-performing people in ALSs and so on has cropped up. And considering how hard we're trying to strive to be inclusive, my only thought on this right now is that the only reason I would want to take any action to deaccredit an ALS would be for one of two reasons. One would be travel support. That is, if an organization is not participating, then getting in line to get funding to go to events may be problematic. But more importantly than that would be quorum in votes. That is really the only concern that I have. In Norello, that has not been an issue. We have been fortunate, dare I say blessed, that we have been able to come to many of our conclusions through consensus of everybody in calls and meetings. So we've rarely, in fact, had to have formal votes except for elections. I consider that to be a really good thing about Norello. Having said that, when it does come to election time, I think we need to consider the issue of inactive versus active participants when it comes to counting quorum. But that's really the only thing. Having groups on the mailing list that don't respond or things like that, to me, isn't necessarily a problem, and spending a lot of time about how to get rid of them seems to me to be not a great use of resources.
Yeah. I think that it was Olivier who was, you know, pestering me about this, because I think it's become an issue in some other regions. So he wanted to have a discussion about how it worked. Yes, Louis.
Louis Hulard, say Quebec. We have to be careful about that. I'm the first one who's been away from the talks for a while. I've been reading each and every email received, did not participate during a few months for different reasons. It doesn't mean that I was inactive. It only means that sometimes some parties somewhere for some reasons might be personal. It was not my case, but they will not participate for a while. So when we're talking about deaccreditation, we have to talk about how we should do that and why we would do that, if there's any incentive to doing that, actually, as if there's any gain in doing that. Okay?
I mean, I've said earlier that I'm going to be changing the way that we record our business as a community and the way that we, you know, get information from all of our structures, and I want to get more people on the record for what it is they do. And I wanted that to be a starting point before we think about de-accrediting people. I want to do as much outreach as possible and get people on the record. And then we can, once we understand what people really do and who they are, before we start saying, well, this person is not participating, this organization is not participating, let's define what the participation is. And I want to go to Dana first. Yes.
Thank you, it's Dana. I guess maybe another perspective on the decreditation might also be, I understand what you're saying about maybe, in layman's terms, shit happens, or something happens. Sorry about that. But it may also be, as you progress and make changes and hopefully evolve, perhaps what is of interest for me or my group may have been achieved, so maybe there's nothing more, so it may be, why are we not engaging these people? What can you draw me back in for 6 months from now or a year from now? That's my comment.
Please, Peter.
Peter Knight, for the record. Well, first, I'd like to second, as a newbie here, that the acronyms, at least at the beginning, are a real barrier. People rattle off 3 or 4 acronyms in a sentence, and what do you do? So it really is important for outreach. Then as far as what people do, if everybody could be a member of LinkedIn, then you can see their curriculum. I've been systematically asking to connect with people that I find have something to say, which is most everybody, and sometimes I can't find them because I don't have their email address. I ask them for their card so I can get it, and there's a few. I found Louis, I can't get through to him because they say he's not in my network. That's why I've asked him for a card. But at any rate, I think that's a very good way to solve that problem. If everybody just joined LinkedIn, it's costless. And
no, I like LinkedIn. You know, it's obviously it's not, you know, a formal means of communication for the ALSs, but it's a great resource for all of us to learn about each other. And find other people within. And I think there was somebody on this side who had their hand up before Randy. Yes, Louis.
Just to add a word for Peter, I don't have any business cards anymore. I have too many hats, and I want to save the forest. So so I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Badoo, whatever, High Five, Facebook, and everything. So I think we have enough electronic tools to get in touch each other. I just wanted to come back to the point that I was mentioning about participating. Notwithstanding the fact that some people have some other business to take care of, I think that what Evan mentioned, though, is probably one of the key issues. If you don't have any funding, if you can't raise money to help participation, well, then you're going to end up in a wall somewhere.
All right. Randy, then Dev, and I'm going to close off this subject.
Thank you. Randy here. On the issue of deaccreditation, I just wanted to say one thing that I definitely agree 100% with everything that everybody said regarding that. Also, deaccreditation is spelled out in the bylaws as well. So while we'd want to pay attention to that, whether or not we're talking about it, maybe a possible change in the bylaws or how we interpret the bylaws or anything like that, that could be an issue. But I definitely understand the fact, and I'm guilty of myself being on the sidelines at times when there's nothing that really directly affects my organization or nothing that really interests me, or, you know, the inevitable point where you're getting 100 emails a day from the list and you just go through and bulk delete, you know, because you got to move on with your day. I mean, those things happen, but yeah, I mean, you've got a good line on. You do have to do your due diligence and try to contact people. And when we have meetings going on, definitely seeing who is going to be involved. Definitely, I support all those issues.
Okay. Dev and Joan, very quickly, but first, Staff, do we know what happened to Sally? Staff? Sally was supposed to be here? Sally Costerton?
Yes, she's in the...
Okay.
Sorry, Gisela, for the record, just to say that Sally is currently with the fellows, so we do have an 8 o'clock joint fellows meeting, and unfortunately I don't seem to see Jim on his way, so sorry about that, Garth.
All right. Dev?
Thank you. David Antiluxing speaking. On the Neuralo Wiki site, there's a list of all the Neuralo ELSs, and this was collected during the various showcases. That was happening from 2010 to 2011. So I think for the Neuralo San Francisco, a list of all the ELSs was compiled. And so I would just suggest that, yes, LinkedIn and all those tools are, but I think we just had an earlier discussion that having so many disparate tools leads to potential user confusion. So you have the wiki, which is the primary focus for all our content. So use that. Just put the person's, just have wiki pages for each ALS there so that anybody could find out all about each other members and just initiate a private conversation over Skype, whatever. That's it.
Okay, Joan, very quickly.
Regarding...
your name first.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Joan Kerr for the record. Regarding community engagement, I find that a lot of times, especially for smaller groups, because they are volunteers and individuals, and a lot of times they're overstressed already in their own communities, they will rise to an occasion to participate if something is relevant to them. So if there is a project that they can contribute to a larger picture as well, because they want to feel that bigger vision and participate in that positive way. So I think if you create something where they can participate not just from a conference level, ICANN has a really good acronym, ICANN. So you can say, I can participate in... anyway, that's...
Okay, great. These are all great ideas. The very last... Well, the second to last item, we won't be getting to the last item. We don't have to discuss this. I just want to mention, in terms of clarifying travel coordination, I had my own difficulties with travel coordination the first time I got sponsored travel. And I noted that. And then when the time came for me to start collecting everybody else's experiences for this trip, I am noting everybody else's problems, difficulties with travel coordination. And this is going to be an ongoing agenda item to make sure that the travel coordination is easy and that you have resources to go to if something is not working. And I've been collecting, as you know, those of you who have had difficulties have been collecting your experiences, and all of this is going to be useful information. So we're going to close this meeting for now at 9 o'clock. We're going to be back in this room for the General Assembly, and Darlene has indicated she will be back for that. Between now and then, get a little coffee, and I'm going to make my way down to the fellows meeting, which is in Frontenac. Thank you very much.
Oh, there's a meeting from 8 to 9, I noticed, of outreach to us stockholders. No, you know the word, shareholders. Oh, no. Come on. I know the word. Anyway. All those groups participating in ICANN. Stock, no. Stakeholders. I got to get my stakes in shape.